I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm weeping, rejoicing all the way.
Tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you can be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot in the Bible. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are excited and delighted to be with you this afternoon and hopeful that as we consider things out of God's Word, that it will be a help to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Scripture. Again, this is a live calling radio broadcast where you call in your question, and we go to God's Word for the answer. The number to call right now is 308-9564, 308-9564. You can call in your question right now. We focus all of our attention on what does the Bible say. What does God's Word say concerning all things that pertain to life and godliness? Now, why is that? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, and verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So here you have Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, the focus will be on the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. In verse 22, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, or have we not done that?" And so here are some folks that have done a lot of things, and he's going to say in verse 23, he says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." And so we have to come to know God. We have to come to know His will in order to do it. Now, one way you can do that is by asking questions and then allowing God's Word to speak. So we encourage you to go ahead and call your questions right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
That is the voice line. And so if you want to join us right now and call in your question with your voice, then that is the number to write down and call with, 308-9564. Now, there's two ways to ask your question. You can have your question written down and brought into us, which is perfectly fine. And we will get that question and we will answer it from God's Word as we let God be the one that you are listening to as we go to His Scriptures. But also, there's another way you can call that same number. And if you would like to go live over the air, we only ask two things of you. One, that you give us your name so that we can address you by name and be courteous. And then also, be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be feedback and cause confusion. 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." And so we want to keep it that way as well, and thus no confusion on this program, because all we want is the clarity from God's Word so that the answer will be coming from God, and that's all you really want to know, I'm sure, and that's all we want to give you. And so we want to give you book, chapter, and verse for all the answers, or with all the answers from God's Word to the questions on your mind. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. So now's your opportunity. There is both lines available, so go ahead and call. You can get your question in right now. Now, there's another way. If you'd rather, you can text us with our text number, which is 725-9283, and you can text in your question with that number, and we'll also answer it on today's broadcast. Now, if you so desire and you have relatives or friends or you're not getting the signal very well on your radio, you can go onto the internet and also join us through our website at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and there will be a live stream button at the bottom of the page. So you go to that website, www.BibleAlone.com, and you can listen via the internet. Now, what's really good about this is if you have a relative or a friend then in another part of this nation, the United States, or even anywhere in the world, if you can communicate to them to go to that website right now, they also can join us anywhere in the world. We've noticed many countries represented from our website where people have been able to use it throughout the world. And so if you have a relative that you would like to also participate in today's broadcast, just go ahead and communicate with them right now. Tell them to tune in via the internet at BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com. Hit live stream, but also let them know that if they choose to call us, that this is area code 843. So all the phone numbers are to area code of 843. So here are the numbers one more time. Go ahead and call in your question by voice at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line.
Again, we want to encourage you, and we can't encourage you enough to take advantage of this opportunity to go ahead and call in your question. Again, that number is 308-9564. And in a few, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the correspondence course material that we have available to you, where you will be able to sign up for this course and study in your home. It's about 6 weeks or so, and we'll send it to you in the mail. You fill out one course, and you send it back to us. We'll grade and send you the second course in the series. And if that's something that you are going to be interested in, so you want to definitely stick around, and we'll tell you more about that. But if you think already you want to take advantage of it, you can go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157. We stress so much the need to stay within the pages of the Scriptures, to stay within the pages of God's Word. There's a passage there in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, the Bible says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so we can't do what seems right. We have to do what we know is right. And the only way to know right from wrong, or what God would have us to do, is to look within the pages of the Scripture, what we call the Bible. So go ahead and call your questions right now, 308-9564.
We have, forgive me if I'm not saying your name correctly, Lutelo. I apologize. I know I'm not saying it right. But their question is, does God curse anyone that teaches a gospel from the Old Testament? If so, why? Well, that's a question I don't know that we've ever had asked here, and so I really appreciate that very much. We love it when we're challenged for a question, and so that's interesting. Nick, you have something on that?
Yeah, I was just thinking. In fact, you can teach the gospel, believe it or not, a number of different ways. The only boundaries is that we stay within the boundaries of God's Word. When we say gospel, we're talking about the good news, and specifically the good news of Jesus Christ. What you'll find is that the gospel can be taught beginning in the Old Testament. You can start with a man by the name of Abraham, and you probably can go back before then in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, where you kind of get a glimpse of the Messiah coming in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. But clearly in Genesis chapter 12, what you have is God making a promise to Abraham, three promises. And then in chapter 22, verse 16, 17, and 18, God makes a seed promise to Abraham. And the seed is the idea that this one was God was going to bless all nations through this seed. He says specifically in that text, "In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed." Well, what we find in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, Galatians 3 and verse 16, is that that seed, in fact, was Christ. So in essence, what I'm doing just now, right now, I'm preaching the gospel starting in the Old Testament. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ encompasses both the New Testament and the Old Testament, because it is a single message that God is revealing, that is the plan of redemption. And so that may or may not be your question, but I hope that's been helpful to you, to hear what you have is kind of God's plan of redemption, and all of it unfolds within the pages of the Scripture, starting there in Genesis and coming forward through The end of the book of Revelation. So I hope that's been helpful.
Yes. And that's it is scattered through the whole Bible. The whole Bible is centered around the salvation of man. And that's what God wants. And the methodology, the practice of worship has changed through the various ages. And whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so when we look into the Old Testament, it certainly is part of that. We must study. We must be able to have that avenue so that we can learn about the character of God and what they did to mess things up. And starting from Genesis chapter 3 on, we see how man interfered with God's plan. And so that was certainly a problem. So we must study the Old Testament. But when it comes down to what we are going to be charged with, and that is violations of God's law, it will not be based upon the law that was given to the Israelites, the Old Testament, the law of Moses. It will be based upon what Christ has given us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God in sundry times and divers manners and times past spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And thus we must give heed to what he says. We must listen to what Jesus said, because he puts it very plainly. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so that's what we must do, John chapter 14 and verse 15. And so hopefully that's been helpful to you. And if you want more on that, you can pick up an article from our website at www.biblealone.com and Bible material button there, and you can download an article on that Old Testament, New Testament relationship as well. And so you've got a second question here. I think Steve is going to help us out with this. The question is, why don't you all make mention of the missing books of the Bible that were taken out during the Protestant Reformation? And so, Steve, what do you say to that?
Well, there was a referred to as the apocryphal books, and there are two different sources of books for the Old Testament. One's the Hebrew canon, and the other is the Alexandrian, which is more of from the Greek influence. Well, if you were looking at what books really were supposed to be in the Old Testament, it would seem to me that the people you would look to would be the people of God, the Jews. And their Old Testament is like our Old Testament and do not have those additional books. In addition to that, there are reasons why those apocryphal books aren't in and considered part of what God wanted us to know from the perspective of the Jews. And one of those is that those books, and the main issue is those books do not carry with it the same kind of message and the same kinds of truths that you find in the Jewish scriptures. And so you would have an aspect of contradiction if one accepted those apocryphal books, because they would not necessarily agree with the Old Testament books from the Jewish perspective. And so there are some other ideas that we can develop on that. One was this person who wrote these apocryphal books recognized as a prophet of God? Was it the events in that confirmed by an act of God, as it was true of the Old Testament books? And the other thing you would look at is the evidence of the early writers and early Christians, that they did not accept these books as from God. And those are just some of the reasons, without getting too involved in the history of it, that would suggest to us why we don't spend time on those books.
You know, one of the main things that's so definitive to me is they don't claim to be Scripture. And so when you look at the Bible, it claims to be Scripture. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or another translation, complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. And so the New Testament claims to be Scripture. Peter verifies Paul's writings as Scripture. Paul verifies Peter's writings as Scripture. And so the Scriptures verify each other as, in fact, the Word of God, even called Holy Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And so what we need to do is just stick with what the Bible verifies is the Word of God, and the writings of man, just keep them to man, because, in fact, that is, as far as authority is concerned, as far as it'll get you. But when we stand before God in judgment one day, it'll be based upon, thus says the Lord. And, by the way, that's another phrase that is missing from those extra writings. Thus says the Lord. It's just not there. So those are some reasons, along with many others, why those books are not included in what is commonly referred to as Scripture. The numbers are 3089564. The lines are now available. You may have a comment or question you'd like to ask. It's time for us to take our first break. We do want you to know that you can go ahead and call in your question even while we are at break. We have one line available. So if you call right now, just let the phone ring. We'll get to you as soon as we can. And stay on that line and let it ring. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are back live now. We're so glad that you are joining us today for our Bible study. You are to be honored. We are honored that you are listening, and we hope and pray that this broadcast will be a blessing to you, and mostly that God is glorified in all this, because we're letting him speak as we go to the Bible for the answers. And so the second number, if you'd like to text us, is 725-9283. That is our text number, and you can write in your questions that way as well. Our voice line, 308-9564. We do want you to know about that Bible correspondence course. It is absolutely free. We do not ask for money. It's not a bait-and-switch thing. We'll never ask for money or a donation. It is our honor to share with you the riches from God's Word. So don't miss out on this, because in that course itself, there is a very strong, most everybody that we go and goes through this course, they say, you know, I learned things in there, and I saw things in God's Word that I have never seen before. And we're talking about lifetime churchgoers. And so there are things in God's Word that very well you may have never heard in the pulpits across the land. So don't you think it would be good to find out those things before we meet God face to face? Oh, yes, yes, we will meet God face to face one day on the judgment day. So it's best to find out what he expects of us here and now before we meet him face to face, while we can do something about it. So why not enroll? Again, that number for the free correspondence course is 553 5157. The operator is standing by right now. Don't miss out on this opportunity. We'll get this even in tomorrow's mail to you. And those of you that have received this in the mail and have not sent it in, send it in. Study it. Send it in. It will not do you any good unless you get into the Word of God and see what God says for yourself. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So study that out and send it in. We'll grade it, send the next lessons to you, and so on until you finish that course. And then we have some others waiting for you. So the number is for the correspondence course is 553-5157. So don't miss out on this. Now, if you have a question, call us 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Ben calls in today. Ben, we sure appreciate you calling in. Ben asks a question concerning Romans 4, verse 17. Ben, I'm going to be honest. This is a little bit difficult because I'm not sure what you're meaning. I'll give a stab at this, and I hope that I hit the target. And Romans chapter 4, verse 17 kind of picks up in the middle of context, and it's a quote from the Old Testament talking about how God was going to bless Abraham. In verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." And so at least the context is talking about Abraham. Your question is this talking about spiritual or material things? And so if I take it from the perspective that you're talking about God making Abraham the father of many nations, was this going to be kind of a physical, in the sense that he was going to have this large nation that was going to be, that he was going to be the beginner of, if you will? It's actually both. He would have a son named Isaac, and later Isaac would have a son named Israel or Jacob, and again, that nation, the nation of Israel, would be descendants of Abraham. Indeed, Israel was a great nation, and so God would be accomplishing that. And you can actually see that in that text in verse 18 of Romans chapter 4, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, talking about Abraham, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. The idea against hope, the idea is he had this child when he was up later in age, and his wife was barren. She could not have children. And God still brought it to pass. And so he would have a great nation or descendants after him. Now, it also is talking spiritual because in Abraham, everyone that obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ become a descendant of Abraham. You may recall that earlier I mentioned that in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we have God making this promise to him that in him all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then again in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 17, verse 18, in your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed, or all families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the idea. So all the families of the earth are going to be blessed in or through Abraham's seed. And then in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, we see that seed is Christ. Now, if you turn back to Galatians chapter 3 and look at towards the end, what you'll find is how we all, that is, when I say we, I'm talking about those who have believed, those who have repented of their past sins, those who have confessed Jesus as the Christ, and those who have been baptized into Christ, how that they become descendants of Abraham. Picking up in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." See, in Christ Jesus, baptized in Christ Jesus, you're one in Christ Jesus. In verse 29, it says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the way we become Abraham's seed is by being inside of Christ. Thus, we become a descendant of Abraham.
And something very similar, Nick, is said in Romans chapter 9, where it says that, "For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, neither are they all children, because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named." That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise.
Amen.
Are regarded as descendants. And that's in Romans 9, 6 through 9.
Amen. So I hope that's been helpful to you, Ben. I sure appreciate you calling in. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. If you prefer to text your question in, text to this number, 725-9283.
We have Nico, I guess is the name. We want to thank you so much for calling. I have met a Nico in the Goose Creek area. I don't know if you are the same one, but if it is, it's good that you are still listening. And please let me know personally later on if you would be interested in further Bible study. But we're glad that you're calling in. His question is, what is a woman's role in the modern-day household? Are both parties supposed to work? Well, first of all, Nico, let me direct you to the second part of your question there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 8, God has the plan for the home to be set up this way as far as who provides for the family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It seems by the masculine pronouns in that passage that the responsibility to provide for the family is placed upon the man. The man is supposed to be the one that is to provide for the family. And if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, as the curse based upon their sin was dished out, he brings out that man was supposed to eat by the sweat of his brow, that he was to provide the fruit to take care of his family. And so the woman's role as there was not even depicted that way at all. Now, with that said, that seems to be the answer to your second question, but let me go ahead and augment that by the example of the worthy woman in Proverbs chapter 31. In Proverbs 31, it describes a wife there that her value is far above rubies. And as she is described, beginning with verse 10, we see what a worthy woman looks like. It says that, beginning with verse 11, let me just start with verse 10, Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous, or another translation says, worthy woman, for her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he will have no lack of gain. He doesn't have to worry about things at home because she will take care of things. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar, and she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household, a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. For her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and lays hold to the spindle. All the way through the rest of this chapter, you see what this woman looks like, and that is, she is not lazy. She is one that will do everything she can to take care of the ways of her household, and any way possible to be able to make things easy for her husband. She is the ultimate example of a helper for the man, even to the point to where her reputation makes him look good. When you look on down to toward the end of the description, it says that her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. It says that he will be praised in the gates of the city because of her, verse 31. So when you look and see, there was a woman that was willing and able to be able to help in any way possible. Now, we want you to know, and I want you to be aware of, going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, that many times we are not content with just the needs of this life. Needs, as described in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, are clothing and food. But no, we've got to have a lot more than that. Many, too many of us have to have all the kind of luxuries that our next door neighbors have. And that kind of discontentment is not pleasing to God at all. So if I have to farm my kids out, if I have to put my children underneath somebody else's wing just so I can have these luxuries, there again, I think I am doing wrong. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, God tells us that, again, the man must make certain that he provokes not his children to wrath, but he brings them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the burden of responsibility of how well the house functions is upon the man. Now, how that all unfolds, hopefully you've got a worthy woman, just like Proverbs 31 says. But the truth of the matter is, men, this is your job to be to be one responsible for the home. That doesn't mean you're to be an authoritative and crack the whip or anything like that. No, you're to love as Christ loved the church, Ephesians chapter 6. So I hope that has been helpful to you. Did I say Ephesians chapter 6? I meant Ephesians chapter 5, the last half of the chapter. Read that and look at what kind of husband you are to be and father you are to be in chapter 6. And so, Nico, I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, the verses are Proverbs 31, 1 Timothy chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. It's time for us to take another break. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are back live now. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and we are glad to be able to be with you. I hope that, and pray that the things that we are saying today have been edifying both to you and an honor to God as we've gone to book, chapter, and verse. So don't miss out on your opportunity to right now to call in your question, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283.
I believe we have a live caller. So caller, are you there? Give us 1 second.
Yeah, we've got to switch you in.
Okay, I think the caller name is Robert. And so give us 1 second, Robert, and we'll have you live here. All right.
All right. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead and speak.
How are y'all doing today?
Doing fine. Doing fine.
Great. I just wanted to let you know that I listen to y'all's show all the time. And today I couldn't wait for y'all to come on the air because I have a sort of a testimony I wanted to share with someone or maybe the audience.
All right. Go right ahead.
Question? Well, I have a question. I guess my question is, where in the Bible do you find that if you're more powerful than someone, I guess that done you wrong, you're supposed to show them mercy, you know, whatever. I think it's something like that to the fact, or can you elaborate on God saying that he'll make your enemy your footstool? You can do that one as well. I want to make a mark of that, because this week I had to go to court, and I was in the wrong, and the only reason why I went to court was because I wanted to defend myself, you know, or even give comment on, you know, just defend myself. I was expecting to, you know, I don't know, be crushed. But the person that taken me to court did not do it. They communicated, and we left out of there laughing. And I thought when I left, you know, I said, you know, there's something in the Bible where it says, you know, if you're powerful than someone that's done you wrong or whatever, you should show them mercy. And I felt like that was done with me because this gentleman brought attorneys. You know, I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's not really all to call for. But when all was said and done, nothing was done, and we left there laughing and talking. So I thought the plaintiff showed his mercy for me, and I just wanted to mark that I thought that was recognized somewhere in the Bible. So
yes,
I thought maybe y'all
there's a passage about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where it mentions that dare any of you go to law or take a matter against another and go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. It says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? It says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to life? If then you have a judgment concerning things pertaining to this life, do you not appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? And then he goes to say, verse 5 is the attitude that I think you're appealing to there. And it says, I say this to your shame. It is so that there is no wise among you, not even one that will be able to judge between your brethren. A brother goes to law against brother, and that before the unbeliever. Now, therefore, it is already a utter failure for you to go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept the wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be defrauded? So sometimes we just need to, you know, to take the harm and go on and serve the Lord and not even get caught up in those things.
And another couple of passages that may be helpful just on the idea of mercy and trying to extend mercy to our fellow man. There's a passage there in the book of James chapter 2, and the Bible says in verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so what God is calling us all to is to be merciful. Why? Well, it's because that's what he has extended to us. Mercy is the idea of not getting what you do deserve. So what do I deserve? Well, we all deserve death as a result of our sins. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that we all have sinned. So as a result of my sin, I deserve death. I don't deserve an opportunity to be saved. And so Jesus has shown, or God has shown us, mercy at the highest possible level. And thus, in turn, he expects us to extend mercy towards our fellow men. So absolutely, we should be trying to extend mercy towards
that
another.
That was done to me this week. And, you know, and I thought about it in the Bible, and I just wanted to know where it was found, because that was mercy was shown to me this week, you know. And I felt lifted, you know, that we left the courtroom united and not enemies. I want to say that, but I also wanted to ask, where is it that it says that I think Jesus or someone is telling that if you cooperate or if you do what I say, that I'll make the enemy your footstool? And I'm gonna get off the phone because I want to hear your comments on the air, because I'm with someone that I had to leave the truck in order for me to be able to talk because of the feedback. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. We sure appreciate you calling in. Steve, do you have a question?
Just a comment. Robert, I'm just grateful that you were in that situation. You were shown mercy. Mercy begets mercy. And, of course, what that prepares you to do is that when you find yourself in that kind of situation where you are a person that could have judgment, that remember that situation, and I will as well, because it validates the importance of being merciful and the triumph that has over evil. I'm reminded of Romans 12, where it says that I should be at peace with all men as much as lies within me, and I'm not to take revenge, and I'm to overcome evil with good. And those are good thoughts to pass along too. And I appreciate your call.
There are several verses about the footstool there that you mentioned that's quoted actually from the Old Testament as well. The earth is the footstool, and there's several references in the Old Testament. But I believe you're referring to possibly one of these three, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And so, again, that's taken from the Old Testament. Chapter 10 and verse 13, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, Hebrews 10, verse 13. And also James chapter 2 and verse 3, talking about how that they're, through their hypocrisy, that they were paying attention to one with fine clothes and neglecting the one, the poor man. And he says, you stand here or sit here as at my footstool. So I think you're probably referring to the two in Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 13, 10, and verse 13 as well. And that's a quotation from the Old Testament. And so hopefully that has been helpful to you. Again, the numbers, if you would like to call in your question right now, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or if you want to text us, you can text in your question at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. The lines are now available, so go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564.
We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 081. 081, we sure appreciate you calling in today. The text question is, where in the Bible does it say we have free will? Well, I don't think you'll find that phrase in the Bible, we have free will. But what you'll find is examples of where God shows us that we have the ability to choose. And you'll find examples like that just all throughout the entire Bible. And I'm just going to toss out three that just shows this idea of free will. One example comes out in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, where Sapphira and Ananias and Sapphira, they sold some land, and they kept back part of the money. And they came and they laid a portion of it at the apostles' feet, and thus the idea is they were given the impression that they were giving all of it. And one of the things that Peter says to him, Peter is endued with the Holy Spirit, and he says in verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. He suggests that while he had the money for the land, it was in his own control. He could do with as he will, but he chose to do something different, underhanded, inappropriate. And then you also have passages like Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now note the phraseology that is used there. Whoever, that suggests any and everyone, but a person has to make that choice. And then finally, you take a note, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, Revelation 22 and verse 17. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirsts comes. And here's our word, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so an individual gets to make their choice whether or not they desire to come. And there's passages like that, hundreds of passages like that throughout the scriptures that answer that question. Steve, I believe you have a comment.
If I may offer two more examples, both of those come from the Old Testament. And everybody's probably familiar with this. If you've gone to any kind of store that's got Bible verses on a plaque This comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, where Joshua challenges the people of Israel to choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And so he offers that to the Jews. And then the other example is in 1 Kings chapter 18, when the prophet of Elijah with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel makes this observation when he says, Elijah challenges them to say, you know, if the Lord who answers by fire is God, then serve him. And so, I had it, guys, and I just lost it.
I think I recall that text, Steve, where it talked a little bit. He asked them a question, you know, how long are you going to be going back and forth between Baal as God,
right,
and then God, or Jehovah? That's the word Lord is in all caps in that text. So it refers to Jehovah. And so the idea is they were really going back and forth between trying to suggest Jehovah was God or Baal was God. And he was asking them, how long are you going to be doing this? How long are you going to continue this? And thus he offers this contest, if you will, whereby they could pray and see which God would answer by fire, and thus Jehovah would answer by fire. Is that the idea, Steve?
Yes. In verse 21, Elijah says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. So appreciate you bringing that to my attention, exact verse.
All right. We are live. We do want you to know now's your opportunity to call in your question at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. 308. You can go live over the air and have your question. You can ask it live over the air as the previous caller, or you can have it written down and brought in to us as the one we're holding right now. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick?
Yeah, Carol calls in today, and I'm going to try to answer this question before we go to break. Carol says, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Grace comes from a Greek word, charis. When translated to the English language, it literally means unmerited favor, unearned favor. And so when God extends his grace to us, he's giving us a favor or a gift which we have not earned. Now, that's seen in the death of his son dying for all mankind's sin. That's God extending his grace, God offering a plan of salvation that a person can respond to. That God offered that plan of salvation by grace. It was an unearned favor. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. We can't earn Jesus dying on the cross. It's something you can't earn. It is a gift. Now, mercy is the idea of not getting what you do deserve. So you know, here you have this child, and they misbehave. And you may be able to be familiar with this. I remember growing up, you know, I had a tendency to play with fire. I remember one time I was playing with fire, and my mom came in the house and caught me. I said, Mom, please, please, please. And what I was asking for was mercy. Please don't give me what I do deserve. For as a result of sin, we deserve death. But we can't afford to have death. Romans 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. If I die for my sins, that leaves me dead. And thus I need God to extend his mercy to not give me what I'm supposed to get, but rather to give me something I'm not supposed to get. That's grace. That's grace. I hope that's helpful, Carol. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. It is time for us to take a break. Even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your question right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that is available to you. That number is 553-5157. Again, that's 553-5157. If you've been planning to try to do a Bible study in your home, but you haven't been able to get around to it, we want you to take this opportunity. It's free of charge. We'll never ask you for any money. Our intent is really to try to help out as much as we can in study of God's Word. So we try to provide those tools that will be an aid, a help to you in your study of God's Word. So go ahead and call the operator standing by right now. Now don't pause. Just go ahead and do it. 553-5157. Join us now here at the station with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. If you prefer to send us a text, go ahead and text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
Okay, we got a question from Nakia, and the question is there any scriptures that tell how we can stop the devil? That is a great, great question. There's a passage in 1 John 4 and verse 4 that says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Well, in a practical way, though, how does that work in our lives? And one of my favorite passages is Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus counters the temptations of Satan after he'd been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. If you turn to Matthew chapter 4, this is just so, so valuable for us. You know, for someone to say, well, yeah, but Jesus, he could overcome the devil because he is Jesus. But when you look and read this text and find out how he did that, that is what's invaluable for us. So I'll just give you a couple of references here. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, this is after Satan has asked Jesus that if he be the Son of God, to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus responds in verse 4, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then down in verse 6, there's another temptation. "You are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you." But again in verse 7, Jesus responds, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then in verse 9 and 8 and 9, the devil tempts him yet a third time. And then in verse 10, Jesus says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Now, if you notice what Jesus did, Jesus depended upon the power of God's Word. And what's so beautiful about that is that's exactly what I can do and what you can do to accomplish the same purpose. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. And most of that armor, if you notice, is defensive. But there is one aspect of that armor that is offensive, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's exactly what Jesus used to overcome the temptations of the devil. And if you and I will depend upon the power of God's Word, then like Jesus said to Peter, we can say, "Get behind me, Satan."
To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Steve, I sure appreciate Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, kind of bringing them back or bringing us back to focus on the Word of God. For therein lies God's power for us today. We note passages like Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul talks about the gospel, not being ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation of those who believe. And so we have to trust the Word of God, hence the reason for this broadcast. It really is designed to encourage you to take advantage of study material, study guides, study opportunities, so that you can gain a better understanding of God's will, of His way. That's the only way we can strengthen our lives. That's the only way we can fight or combat the devil, who is seeking to devour anyone that he may. He walks about as a roaring lion, the Bible says, and so we have to be on guard. And the only way we can defend ourselves is with the tool that God has provided us, which is His Word. Join us again. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now is your opportunity, because both lines are available. 308-9564 is the voice line, and you can call in your question. It can be written down and brought in to us. You don't even have to give us your name for that. Now, if you choose to go live, we do want your name so we can be polite and address you by name. And also that we ask you to be ready to turn your radio down if you want to go live, and that there will not be any feedback or an annoying echo and causing confusion. And so those are only two things that we would request if you want to go live. Other than that, call in your question right now, 308-9564. We have two lines available, so go ahead and call in right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. The text line is also always available at 725-9283. So if you have a cell phone and you'd rather text us, then you can do so that way, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. We also want to remind you that we have a website at BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone.com, where you can download previous broadcasts of this program anytime you want, and thus you can study with them on your computer at any time. You can pause it, look up the verses. I know we go pretty fast sometimes, especially when we've got a stack of questions waiting on us, and thus you can look up those scriptures and make certain that we have not led you down the wrong path. We certainly do not want to do that, and you would be our friend to point out to us if we have, because we want only God's word to be heard and God to be the only one that's in an authority in this broadcast. And certainly He will have the final say when it comes to the end. But as we mentioned in our previous question, God has given us a free will to choose to do whatever we want. And thus, when you look out at the religious world right now, you see anything but what Jesus planned. You look and you see all of the diversity, all of the various denominations. Yet Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 20, that He says, "Neither do I pray for these alone, but for also those that will believe on Me through their word." That would be us. "That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that You have sent Me." And so, when you have all the division out there, the world is not believing Jesus at all. Matter of fact, to those that only look and see all of the different things that are taught in, quote, the name of Jesus, they actually make fun of God. Matter of fact, there is an attempt to even remove God off of our money because of all of the absurd things that are taught in the name of God. So let's all see what we can do about getting back on the only track. I almost said the right track. The only track, the only straight and narrow path that leads to God is brought out in His Word. So if we all use the same ruler, the same measuring tool, we would all come up with the same answer. Now, you may shirk at that. But if a crew of 100 people can work together and build a house, and everybody use the same measuring tool and come up with the same answers, you mean to tell me that God cannot make a measuring tool for us all to use and come up with the same answer? Oh, yes, He can. But we've got to be honest and take all the truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God, and we will come up with the truth that God wants us to follow. Thus, we're going to let the Bible speak. So call in your question right now. Let's let God speak the truth from His Word, and that we may find out what He says, not what man has come up with. Here's the line to call, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Dave calling in a question today. Dave, we sure appreciate you listening. Dave says, is it scriptural for pastors to marry divorced men and women? I take it to mean to perform a ceremony whereby two individuals may join in holy matrimony. And so you're saying, is it scriptural for this individual? You say pastors, but I'm thinking you're probably making reference to a preacher to perform such a ceremony if he know that these individuals were divorced. Well, from a divorce perspective, I'm going to try to answer this a couple of different ways, but from a divorce perspective, you know, the Bible does authorize a person who has been divorced, or at least according to Matthew 19, it doesn't prohibit that person from being remarried if they're not the guilty party. And so in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, and we use this passage a lot on this broadcast, Jesus says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. So the one that commits adultery is the one who divorces his wife and she did not commit sexual immorality. Now, if she would have committed sexual immorality, then he would not be guilty of adultery. And so if here's a person that has married and their spouse commits adultery, well, they can put away that spouse for that adultery and they can marry. But if that's not the case, then they cannot. The onus in this text is on the individuals. The individuals have to adhere to God's law in that. Now, what about the person doing the marrying? Well, that person, if this person is a godly person, then they cannot support wrong. We can never support wrong. I cannot condone wrong. So if I know that someone or a group of people or two people are trying to get married and they don't have a right to being married according to what the Bible says, then I can't share in that. And that's not thus saith Nick, but that's really thus saith the Lord. An example of that would be Romans chapter 1, which talks about a group of sins that these folks had engaged in, the Gentiles of yesteryear. The Bible says in verse 29, these folks were being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, and just for the point of emphasis, sexual immorality is a broad word that includes all sexual or inappropriate sexual relationships. That include people who get married and they don't have a right to be married. They're in an improper sexual relationship. So he says these folks were being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Verse 31, undiscerning, untrustworthy. Verse 32, it says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, God says, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And it's that last little piece that lets me know that I cannot even approve of it, because then it condemns me. It's not lawful to approve of sin. And so I hope that's been helpful to you, Dave. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Steve, did you have a comment?
Yeah, just to add to that, Nick, a passage in Ephesians chapter 5 says that we're not to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, and that instead even expose them. Now, I'm a preacher, and I've been in situations like this man is discussing, and I just feel that it would be unconscionable for me to know that and not try to get them to do what's right.
It's time for us to take our next break. We do want you to know that we're about to tell you about the correspondence course. It is free. This is we're back out to the last third of our program, so don't miss out on the opportunity to get the course. We've had several already to enroll in the course today, so go ahead and take advantage of this. We'll send it to you. We'll never ask for a handout. This is your chance to be able to learn what God's Word says without the pollution of man-made doctrine. So go ahead and enroll in this course right now. Here's the information on it, and so don't miss out on having an opportunity to get this in the mail to you tomorrow. Even while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We're back live now. We do want you to take advantage of that correspondence course, and we're glad to be able to send it to you. We seriously, please put away your pocketbooks, put away your wallets, put away your money. We will not ask for handout. We do not expect you to give, nor ask for you to give any donations whatsoever. It is our honor to share with you the treasure that is contained in God's Word. We're serious about that. And it truly is a treasure that will never be taken away from you. You will never regret going through and studying God's Word. You will be blessed immensely if you do. Those of you that already have the course, go ahead and send it in. You will be blessed if you study through God's Word, and we are happy to send it to you. So make certain that you don't miss out on this. Call the operator standing by right now at 553-5157. That's 553-5157. There's an operator, live operator, standing by to take your information, and we are happy to be able to send this to you. So don't miss out, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, go ahead. This is our last 30 minutes. Go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We would encourage those out there who consider themselves noble-minded. You might think, well, that's an interesting comment to make about somebody, noble-minded. Well, it comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 11. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts and Paul's preaching and his different journeys, how challenging it was in different cities when people would just get upset and be real mad at him and run him out of town. But he went to a place called Berea, and those people were a little different. In fact, verse 11 says, "These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so." And we'd encourage you to do that and not just listen to us and say, well, that was interesting, but check it out in the scriptures. And we appreciate you calling and your trust in the scriptures, and pray you'll look at those answers too and consider the answers that are given as you can find them in the Bible.
We are wanting you to go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564.
308-9564. We haven't made this announcement in a while, but it is always available, and that is, if you have a group that would like to get together and you would like to conduct a Bible study in your home, kind of a Let the Bible Speak in your home, as our schedules would permit, we would be happy to come out and sit and study with you. A case in point or an example is on Tuesday, I go out to St. Stephen's. With a good family out there, and I'll tell you, just about every week there's someone new to study with. They've opened their homes, and so we have a Bible study right there in their home. Sometimes it's two, three different people at one time, and again with this family that hosts the study. You could do something like that. And again, this is just another means to help you in your study of God's Word. It is good to get together in a setting like this because oftentimes, maybe you're not talkative, but your neighbor may be, And so they'll ask a question that's on your heart, some kind of how, something that you've been wondering, and you can kind of sit back and listen. And so what I've seen is that there's some people that come and they're ready to go, and then there's others that just kind of sit back and they listen to the scriptures and they turn to every scripture and they read every scripture. And again, it serves to aid them as they try to grow in the knowledge of God. We cannot stress enough how important it is to come to know God. There is that passage there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I believe it's verses 7, 8, and 9, which talks about how that in flaming fire he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take vengeance on the one that does not know God. That's just strong language, folks. I mean, it just doesn't get no stronger than that. He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to come to know him.
You know, sometimes it never dawned on me what vengeance and wrath was all about until one day I got mad. Years ago, I had a big, a large temper. And one day that something occurred. Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you. I was playing checkers with my wife, and she was beating me up one side and down the other. And I got mad, and so everything was fine until she went, uh-huh, and that's when I turned loose of my anger against that checkerboard. Well, I know that's a silly story, and of course that shows how immature I was during that time, but you know, that scared me to death. I hit that checkerboard so hard with my fist, we never found all those checkers. Now, that's Ricky's silly temper as an immature person. But God's mature temper, because wrath is the turning loose of anger, is truly going to be turned loose one day. He can hold it back right now. I couldn't hold it back that day. He can hold it back because he is omnipotent. He can hold it back. But nevertheless, every child abuse, every curse word, every finger that is shaken and cursing at toward God, every crime, every sin, every false doctrine, every preacher that gets up and preaches himself, and the list goes on, is causing his anger to build. And think about how much of that goes on every single day, and especially on Sunday. All of the various doctrines that are totally contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Now, my friends, his wrath is building. One day, he's going to turn loose of it. And when he turns loose of it, there's not going to be anything left. 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. That day, my friend, is coming. We've got to be ready. So why not find out what we need to do to be ready for that great and notable day by enrolling in a correspondence course free of charge? Call the operator standing by. We'll send this to you, and you can avoid being the recipient of his wrath one day simply by doing the will of the Father. The number to call, 553-5157. 553-5157. There's an operator standing by right now. She'll take this information. We'll send this course to you free. I mean, how much easier can it get? 553-5157. The operator standing by right now, and she will be glad to take this information, and we'll get the course in the mail to you even tomorrow. So don't miss this opportunity. 553-5157. Now, the lines are available for your question. If you have a Bible question, you want to go ahead and call it in right now. The number is 308-9564. That's here at the station, right here at the studio. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Nick, you have a question?
Yeah, Mary calls in this question. And Mary, we do appreciate your listening. We do appreciate you taking the time to call as well. Mary says, if God says we are all one, why can't a woman preach? Well, we sure appreciate that question. God does pray that we would be one. And so that is absolutely God's intent. You have Jesus praying for that in John the 17th chapter. And so he's praying for that to his Father, suggesting that he knew that maybe we would not be one. You have Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 talking to the church there and making the same plea for unity. In verse 10, he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so there is, again, teachings in the Scripture where God absolutely wants his people to be one. So you're right on that. God wants us to be one. You say, well, why can't women be a preacher? Well, the same God that wants us to be one is the same God who says the woman can't be a preacher. And so for as much as I respect God, as far as us being one, I have to respect him likewise with concerning who can preach. And I take preacher here as what you're making reference to is from the pulpit. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He doesn't say it that way. What he simply says concerning women in the churches in verse 34, he says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says." Now, let me toss out some additional information that I think will be helpful. Women can preach and teach as much as they like. In fact, you have examples of Aquila working with her husband Priscilla, and they were preaching the gospel. And Romans chapter 16, you take a look, and you'll see how they started a church in their house. I believe that somewhere around verse 3, verse 4 in that text. And so here you have them starting a church. We also see how both of them, Priscilla and Aquila, that they would correct Apollos together. And so it's not the idea that they can't preach. Women oftentimes will teach. They'll teach their neighbors. They'll teach other women. It's the idea. They'll work with their spouse. So it's not that. It's simply that concerning the church, that God has placed a limitation. And so for as much as I respect God in one thing, for Mary, we have to respect God in the other thing, or in all things. And so I think that's a very good question. I know that there are others out there that had that same question. We sure appreciate you calling it in. Ricky or Steve, do you have any comments on that?
Just a note, now is your last segment. We're approaching the last segment of our Bible study today. So if you will, go ahead and call in your question at 308-9564. We'll be able to address it with the answer from God's Word today. We're about to take our last break, so go ahead and call for the information that we'll be glad to send to you free of charge, the correspondence course. Here's the details on that, but don't miss out on getting your question in today, either at 308-9564, the voice line, or text line at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are back alive, and we do want y'all to know that we are honored for you to join us today as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. Now, this is the last segment, so don't miss out. 308-9564. There's one line available, so if you call right now, go ahead and let it ring, and we'll get to you as quick as we can. Or you can text us at 725-9283 without waiting. It'll come right to us, 725-9283. Don't miss out on the last 15 minutes to be able to enroll in the course with the operator standing by. That number for the free correspondence course is 553-5157. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, sir. I got a question from someone here, and the question is, are we supposed to love each other, including our enemies? Well, Jesus speaks to that somewhat directly in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, and notice, chapter 5, how he addresses that, not only in Matthew chapter 5, but also in chapter 6. In chapter 5 and verse 43, beginning, he said, "You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." What's interesting about this passage is that we are called upon as God's children to be like our Father. And he loved those who didn't love him. In fact, the whole concept of the crucifixion of Jesus is the extreme expression of that love, even for those who crucified Jesus. And you might recall that one of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, again, someone might say, as we talked about earlier in this program, but well, that was Jesus, and Jesus could say that because he was Jesus. But in Acts chapter 7, we find the same thing being said by Stephen, who was in the process of being stoned, and as it were, his last breath was again repeating the same thing that Jesus said in verse 60 of Acts chapter 7, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And so, yes, we are to love our enemies, but I'll add this one last thing, unless one of the other guys want to mention something about it, that the struggle we have with that is that I think we ought to have some kind of emotional attachment to those who are enemies, equating emotional attachment to love. And love is an exercise of the will, and you can do that because that's what the Lord asks you to do.
The number to call right now is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Now's your opportunity to call in your question. The lines are available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind and on your heart. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Again, this is the last segment, and the operator is still standing by to take your information for the free correspondence course. If you are desiring to enroll in this, we'll send it to you free of charge. We literally have thousands of people in the Charleston area that have enrolled in this course, that have benefited much from it. And whenever we get to meet some of you face-to-face, what we hear most commonly is, you know, I never knew that was in the Bible. And thus they're able to see things in God's Word that the God of this world, that is the devil, has hidden from sight. People that may be Bible students, but there are things there that are hidden that that he has enabled them to not see simply because the system of belief or the religion that they may be associated with has thus hidden those things, and thus, even though they're in plain sight, they seem to be hidden. And so let's not be ignorant of what God wants us to know. And the only way to do that is for us to study the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then we can show ourselves approved to God. And that's all that matters. Because guess who's going to have the final say in the matter? You're right. It'll be God. So let's study what he says, the Word of God, so that we might be able to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Again, the number for that free correspondence course is 553-5157, 553-5157. 5157, and we will let the Bible speak through the correspondence course. You'll be able to study it anytime you want to, day or night. Fill it out, send it back to us, and we're more than happy to send it to you free of charge. Now, this is the last segment, so go ahead and call in your question. I think we have time for your question. Go ahead, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a caller who calls in and says, if a woman is only sleeping with one man, is it still fornication, or is it still fornicating? The word fornicating, or as used within the pages of the Scripture, comes from a Greek word porneia. It's where we get our English word pornography from. It really carries with the idea of sexual immorality. Some of your new translations, like New King James, you will typically find the word sexual immorality translated for the word fornication. It is a broad sense of inappropriate sexual relationship. So whether a person is sleeping with one person or not, if they're not married, that is an inappropriate sexual relationship. You'll hear me from time to time on this broadcast talk about inappropriate relationships, and usually I'm talking about inappropriate sexual relationships because there are many. Now, here's a person that has sex before marriage that's premarital sex. Well, that's sin. And so now here's a person that is married, but they go outside the boundaries of the marriage and they have sexual relationship with someone else. Well, that's extramarital sex. That's adultery. And that's sin. And then there are those that would have sexual relationship with those of the same sex, and that's homosexuality. That's sin. And so fornication or porneia, as it's used sometimes, sexual immorality, is the broad word covering any inappropriate sexual activity. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews the 13th chapter, and this may be helpful, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. The idea is the marriage bed is undefiled. But it goes on to say in this text, but fornicators, that's our word, porneia, sexual immorality, and adulterers, God will judge. And so it's not right because those outside of a godly authorized marriage are engaging in sexual immorality or fornication. They don't have a right to engage in sexual activities. I hope that's been helpful to you. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. If you prefer to text us, you can. You have just a few minutes, so you can text us at 725-9284. Steve?
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Kathy wrote in a question. It says, where does the Bible say that once you are saved, you can't wear pants? Well, from my recollection, there's a passage in Leviticus that says, a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man. Well, that's kind of a passage that's often quoted, but my observation about that is that people in the Old Testament all wore robes, and those robes were clearly distinguished between a man and a woman. So are pants and shirts. So I'm running out of time, so we'll have to kind of leave it with that.
We certainly appreciate everybody tuning in today and for your questions very much. Be sure to enroll in the correspondence course. Here's the details on that. We want to thank you for listening today. Be sure to listen again next week as we let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you. So each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.
I can hardly wait for